This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins the national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Mr. Razorback, he's back in business. I don't know what the story is, but hey, it's good to have him back.
I wonder if we'll ever get the story, you know, that, but you got all the rumors and everything that was floating around and this and that, but I wonder if we'll ever get publicly any information on why Devo Davis left the team and how he's been welcomed back now. News came out last night during Eric Musselman Live. It is interesting, Matt. I mean, it's not that this is the reason this happens, but I felt one of the goals for yesterday's show was to kind of dodge talking about Arkansas basketball too much, because it's just not been a lot of fun to talk about. Certainly not the game against LSU. If you would have gotten maybe the kind of performance against Kentucky or, you know, a win, we wouldn't have danced around it at all. And we got a lot of help yesterday. Yesterday was 11 days before Arkansas baseball starts. We had 33 entries into everybody's favorite number 11, so I wonder what we'll get for number 10 today, since we are one day ahead. We kicked around a lot of Super Bowl stuff, other college basketball items, some college football things, and then, you know, you kind of got to talk about when the guy who, as you have referred to him quite often over the last year, Mr. Razorback, is now welcome back to the team after stepping away, to use the press release's terminology, for a second time in 2 years. And I guess it sounds, Matt, like it's welcome back with open arms, you know, back to practice. And with the rest of the season now in the balance and another month to try to find a way to get into some sort of postseason tournament, I guess some of the drama in that case, I don't know if it puts it to bed, because I think we all have our questions as to why this happened. But part of the drama was also, will he ever return? I truthfully did not think that he would return, just because of how late it was from the step away from the program. But now he's back, and I guess it's not quite as much drama as it was a couple days ago.
Yeah, I mean, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, you hope whatever he had to take care of, it got taken care of. I'm a Devo fan. I like the way he plays the game of basketball. And we're a better team if he's out there and he's buying in. No question about it. If he's listening to Mus and he's being the leader that he is and playing basketball the Devo way and in the Razorback way and giving us his best, no question we're a better team with him on the roster.
Yeah, I agree. As long as there's buy-in from him. And now, I mean, this was the guy that was supposed to be your team leader for this season, for obvious reasons. I mean, the guy that's been around the program for longer than anybody else, and how rare is it to have somebody with your program for 4 years? I don't know. I mean, I'm past the point of wondering who can lead this team, who's going to be the leader, and all of that. I just want to find some way that there can be some chemistry for this group so that we can have at least a better last month, whether or not they make a run in Nashville, whether or not they, you know, somehow make it to the NCAA tournament, which feels like it's so out of reach right now, whether or not they make it to the NIT. I would just like to, because I'm going to be watching all the games as long as I'm not traveling at that moment. I want to watch a team that looks like that they can compete, because that's been the overarching thing. You point to all the stats and the record and everything. It's just too many games where they've been non-competitive, and it's not fun to watch that.
I mean, you're right, Phil. We've been way too inconsistent for whatever reason. Injuries, leave of absences, players playing 27, 31 minutes, and then the next game being a healthy scratch or starting it. We've had multiple times people starting, and for whatever reason, they play 7 minutes and don't step on the floor again. It has been very erratic, to say the least, and especially this deep into the season. It's something I've never seen before out of a coaching staff and out of a basketball team that this late into the season, they still don't know who they are. Like, that's you're just like, man, we got 9 games left, and you really don't know who – they don't have an identity yet. And I don't know if they're going to find one or get one this year. I think it's just a – it's like John Lennon's L.A. years. It's just the lost years. It's just that's the year. And so that's just how it's going to be this year. And I think they'll get it right next year.
I would really like to find a Strawberry Fields Forever for this group right now. It ain't there. But at least part of this drama is at least put to bed. And the only part of that is, will he return or won't he return? Will he be welcome back or not? And the answer to both questions right now is yes. So, you know, that's a theme that we can hit on throughout this show, but, you know, it's only so much you can kick it around.
Well, and the other thing is that the other guy is Brazil. How healthy is he back, too? I mean, we have this week off from game to game. You saw what LSU did with their time off. If you get both those guys back, Phil, and they buy in, no question we could go 5-4 and make the NIT. I think that would be our ceiling with both those guys back playing the way that they know how they can play. But they got to buy in. You got to start. It should have started already, but it needs to start this week if you want to go 5-4.
So that's where we'll start today. You got SEC basketball back to action tonight. We'll hit on that as we go throughout the show too. Some of the Super Bowl stuff. I didn't pay too much attention to media days yesterday, to be quite honest. Is sifting through too many of the questions that don't make any sense and all the cliche speak and everything. So it's one of those things I've usually avoided.
Did you see the Biebs hockey attire at the NHL All-Star game?
I missed on that.
Some of the listeners, it's very Scott Weiland, just a big old, he didn't have his megaphone, but just a big old fur coat with some dots on, you know, just rock star, so to speak. You know, Scott Weiland's a rock star. So,
Could he sing like Scott Weiland, please?
You know, Scott, they both probably a lot of auto-tune. Probably both of them are overrated in that aspect. But to watch those players go in, like to see your boy Patty Mahomes dressed up, to see Kelsey dressed up, to see some of the other guys, what they were wearing. They said Brock Purdy was dressed like the first grade of middle school, like the attire he had on. Travis Kelsey was dressed like you seen that 21 Jump Street? He's like dressed like the undercover weed dealer that we all know is the undercover weed guy. You know, it's like it was funny watching him walk in.
It's a little bit of the way that most NBA players, I feel like, show up. You know, it's a fashion moment. It's like a red carpet, I guess. Right?
Who are you wearing?
Yeah. Did anybody get asked that yesterday?
It's ridiculous.
I'm sure they did.
It's ridiculous. I saw a little bit on Fallon. I didn't see the media days.
Well, I'm more interested in this ruling by the National Labor Relations Board that now says that the Dartmouth basketball team can unionize, that they are, in the eyes of the NLRB, viewed as employees of, I don't know if it's the university or just the athletic department, or truthfully in the Ivy League, the athletic department probably is not independent of the university. That's the second time this has happened. Northwestern was the first. I don't think they did unionize. I'd be surprised if this doesn't also start a little more of the ball rolling, Matt, of the demise of the current structure of college sports and direct pay from universities to students.
I wouldn't be surprised if it goes to when it goes that way, that it's SEC teams only play SEC teams. You know, like
Big Ten, remember, we've got this advisory group, so which feels like it's a merger of some kind.
So that's what I'm saying. Those teams will only play, they're not going to go out and play, Washington State or any teams, that not because they're far away, but because they're not in the group. And I think that's the way that it's going. And then maybe you can have some out-of-league games, or you can have some type of a tournament that way. But I really think it's going to become more compact, where SEC and Big Ten, they might only play each other, which... That'd be about 40 teams. That might be enough, right? Like if you throw Big 12, whatever. But
hey, we don't seem to get too tired of some of the same teams playing each other in the NBA, right? For those who are NBA fans, it's not the same structure, because you're not going to play 82 games. But you might actually, in this case, maybe you play a team 3 times.
You're just not going to have the dominant thing where you're going to have Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson. They're all not going to be 10-0 or 11-1, because you're going to be beating up on each other more often,
right?
Especially if you're playing each other 3 times.
Well, Patino this morning said that college basketball needs a, quote, salary cap, unquote. And every time I've heard somebody mention that, I always say, but then where's the collective bargaining? Where's the unionization? Because if you're talking about a cap for NIL, you can't really do that without some kind of ruling from the NCAA. Or I don't even know if you can do that. You can cap earnings if it's collectively bargained, and that's what this takes you down the road. That's the kind of salary cap that you have in professional sports.
Well, you're going to have not these one-year deals anymore, too. If you're going to have it, you're going to have multiple-year deals.
It's just another ball rolling down the hill of the death of the current structure of college sports.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Dry January is over. Check out the new Valentine's Day specials like liquor-filled chocolates. They have Jack Daniel's Store Pick Barrel and Willett Bourbon and Rye as well. Come by Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith. Now back to the podcast.
Back on halftime as we'll head to our McLarty Daniel hotline and check in with Grant Hall a day earlier than usual. And we appreciate you for being flexible there. Grant, how you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
You got it. Reaction from the news from Eric Musselman live last night. Devo's back on the team.
Yeah, it wasn't a surprise. I mean, someone had told me a week or so ago that he would be back with the team, you know. And I think it's interesting. You know, Phil, I saw a comment from Gino Auriemma today that I kind of like to get into a little bit. He said the coaches get into coaching to have these relationships with players, and as that's disappearing somewhat, maybe so is the fun of coaching. Some players feel like they owe you nothing, and you owe them everything. You want them to have a great experience, and when you see it actually happen, it's really rewarding. It just doesn't happen enough. I can well imagine that when Eric Musselman talked with Devo on Sunday and then lifted weights with him and then enjoyed him having a good practice yesterday, that's one of the rewarding moments in coaching, you know. But it's, and it's interesting that I'm quoting Gino here because I don't know that Sailor Poffenbarger, for example, would share, I don't think she had a positive experience under Gino at Connecticut, we'll put it that way. And she's doing great at Arkansas. So it's just, man, I think with NIL and everything that's going on in college today, it's so different, so completely different from years ago. And coaches have to adjust and players have to adjust. And we're just kind of, you know, we're living through it right now.
Yeah, we are kind of learning as it goes. It's been kind of an emotional turn for this basketball team and kind of ups and downs and a lot more downs than ups. What do you think, anything can be salvaged, Grant? Do you think with Devo back, and I don't know about what Brazil's doing, but do you think there's anything they can do and maybe win five of their last nine and get a chance to go to the NIT?
Yeah, I think so, man. I mean, I think if you just take a hard look at the schedule, there are five home games. I think they're all winnable, including Tennessee, because after all, Arkansas beat Duke and Purdue on their home floor this year. And then the road games are pretty daunting. I mean, at Mississippi State, which has played well this year, at Texas A&M, at Kentucky, and at Alabama. So, you know, good luck winning any of those, but you never know. I mean, you know, you never know, but what, maybe one of those teams might have two starters missing or somebody hurt, or maybe they're going through what Arkansas has been through a little bit. So you just have to, you know, you start with Georgia. It's like Eric said last night, he didn't know who was next on the schedule. He's just looking at trying to have basically five practices this week. They're not taking any days off, you know. And Grant, trying to get back playing better.
Grant, I like that. I like the fact that they're just kind of worrying about what they can do this week and not worrying about another team, because honestly, they need to get back to being themselves.
Yeah, and they have it within, I mean, within their mathematical power to do this thing. I mean, I guess if you went 7-2 from here on, that'd be 18-13, maybe win a couple in the tournament. I mean, it's highly unlikely, but maybe we haven't seen, what if they start playing like they did against Purdue and Duke again? Who knows? So you just never know in sports. I think a lot of it's been a chemistry issue. There clearly are a lot of problems on this team. Like, you know, Bob Holt wrote today about they're the worst three-point defending team in the conference, and they led the nation, I think, in Eric's first year. So, you know, you got to just, yeah, you just got to put everything into beating Georgia on Saturday and trying to build off that.
The way the women's team is playing right now, they have the best chance of making it to the tournament out of either of the two teams. And right now, I think, I mean, you know, you look at bracketology and whatever that means, they're on the bubble, you know. But I feel if you finish over 500 in this league, then you should get a bid. The thing, though, is, and it would be the same thing that could drag down Arkansas in the men's side if they were on that bubble, home losses to non-conference teams. You know, and sometimes we forget about that. The Greensboro loss, that hurts. That hurts your resume. The UAPB loss for the women's team really hurts their resume. That's why their RPI is where it is instead of where you would think it would be for a team that is over 500 in the SEC. So, you know, that's one thing I do worry about with the women's team is that they've got this resume right now in the league, and we're saying, all right, over 500 in the league, but a home loss to UAPB hurts.
Yeah, that's been a pretty reliable indicator through the years, Phil. You're right about the SEC, but the league is a little bit down this year after the top two. You know, everyone knows how good South Carolina is. The LSU's been good, so they've got work to do. I think winning at Florida would be huge this week. In some ways, Phil, I think they've played better on the road at times than at home. We were talking about that at halftime the other day when it didn't look so good against Alabama. And then they came out and had that amazing third quarter where they outscored them by 20. I think I said the wrong opponent, didn't I, a minute ago. But anyway, that was just a weird game all in all, and Arkansas held on to win it. So,
were down. What did the men trail 8 or 9 minutes into the game against LSU? It was double digits, right?
Yeah, at the 11-minute mark, we were down 13 points.
Women's team's down 11 after the first quarter against Auburn the other day. There's a difference here in buy-in for both teams right now. You know, I mean, they scout about as well as any team does in the SEC. That's one of the strengths of Eric Musselman's coaching staff. So it's either like they're not listening or not paying attention or don't care.
Well, you know, the women played 7, I think, Sunday, and that's what Eric, most of his career, is 7 or 8, and he talked about that again last night, that they still haven't, I mean, that's why he's playing all these guys. They still haven't found the right combination. So, now what happens with Brazil? Is he out for another extended period of time? Does he come back? I mean, the knee isn't getting much better, apparently. So, it's just... I guess it's unknowable at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Grant. On the perimeter, we're smaller at every guard. This is his smallest unathletic team that he's had up here. You know, our least athletic, smallest team. So no wonder we don't guard the perimeter very well.
That's a good point, Matt. And he again said last night, talking about going and getting, because somebody asked about recruiting, and they've got two coming in, I think, so far. But he said going after 6-7 guys, and even mentioned by name. He mentioned Audis Tony and Stanley Amude, and guys of that size. I mean, I can remember as long ago as when Nolan Richardson coached here, and someone had told me about a kid that was 6 feet or something somewhere, and Nolan basically said, we're looking for 6'4 guards, mm-hmm. And that's a long time ago. So, and here's another one about that. Yesterday, I was counting during the baseball lunch, and by the way, it was an overflow crowd. They had to bring in tables. People are so looking forward to something that's successful, you know. But on that roster of 43 guys, Phil, 33 of them are 6'1 or taller. And a lot, on up to 6'2", 3'4", 5", and 6", and like that. And Dave, he said the game's getting bigger. I mean, look at two guys, Benintendi and Fletcher, who may both start for the White Sox this year, are under 6 feet, right? I mean, it wasn't Fletcher about 5'9", 5'10", something like that.
Yeah, he's about that too. But he's also barrel chested too, and
that's
Benny
right.
Has those forearms that just look like Popeye forearms.
Back when the bunt was part of baseball still, and, guys like that, a long time ago, a guy named Richie Ashburn led off for a long time. You and I could go on and on about this, but players are getting bigger in baseball.
Richie Ashburn handed me my first foul ball, Grant. I was like
4 months. Really?
I was 4 months old. It was a Pirates Phillies game. My parents took me to the game at Three Rivers. Ashburn, of course, he was on the Phillies broadcast crew for a long time, and we were sitting up in an empty TV booth. Ball flies it past through our booth into the hallway. My father reaches down. Richie Ashburn hands down. He's the Hall of Famer. He got to it first. He gave me the ball. I probably threw it away at some point or drooled on it since I was 4 months.
Did you ever see Shibe Park in Philadelphia? I actually saw a game there one time.
No, I'm not that old. I'm not quite at that age. Give me a thought on Arkansas baseball, though. I mean, we are 10 days away. We know pitching is the strength. Is there anything you see potentially as a weakness?
No, they seem to be loaded. I mean, they have a lot of guys with power. They have a deep pitching staff. Now, last year Dave pointed out yesterday that they had 10 major injuries, I think. And so, as he said, they had kind of run out of gas, or were running out of gas for the regional. So, you hope the team can stay healthy. And there are a couple of guys now that, like Bobby didn't pitch yesterday because of kind of a hamstring lingering thing. But, I haven't seen him too much, but I've seen enough to see this power. I really like Wilmsmeyer. I like his defense in center field. He made just an amazing shoestring catch last week. And they're hoping he can hit, enough to for that to be another big asset for this team. But, I could go player by player, kind of like Dave did yesterday, and it all sounds great before the season. But as he pointed out, to win four of the last five SEC West, and this is the last year for that, by the way, so but two of the last three SEC titles, he thinks really, he said yesterday, it's harder to win an SEC than it is the College World Series, actually. So that's pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah, because you have to play every day just about.
Do you think they run out of energy a little bit, Phil? Do you think maybe they get – I mean, that's a grind. You saw the Golden State Warriors beat the Chicago Bulls record, and Coach even came out and said, man, we didn't have it when the playoffs got here. Do you think there's any truth to that?
I think last year you could have there's something to be said about that. It's weird, though. It's like, you would think a team that has to go on the road for almost a full month and didn't have a great regular season wouldn't make it to Omaha, but the team in 2022 did. And they were on the road for a whole month in June. It's so odd to think about that sometimes. And like 2021 was this year where they're number one all season. So there's the pressure of being number one and playing in your home ballpark. The thing, though, you have to like take a step back. And it's something you just mentioned, Grant, at least the perspective of this. And this is another reason why you go in with these other two teams that we talk about so much, not living up to the potential. Arkansas baseball just about always does live up to the expectations and the potential. For these last 6 years, I want to have perspective about these 6 years, and this will be the seventh year of this stretch. The consistent amount of success in this league is amazing.
Yeah, especially with 23 new players this year, I think, and I think he said there were 26 last year. So you're talking about more than half of the previous. So, you're rebuilding it every year, and you always have to have that chemistry. But Wagner told us a week or so ago that this was the best chemistry team, and he's been on this is his sixth year of college baseball, so he knows it, and hopefully that'll carry this team.
Grant, we'll leave it there. I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on.
Grant,
early.
Real quick, who wins the Super Bowl? We got 20 seconds.
Oh, man. San Francisco favored by 1.5. Is that okay? I'm going to say McCaffrey trumps Mahomes.
I like
How
it.
How about that?
I like it.
Okay.
I like it. Thanks. Thank you.
All
Thanks,
right.
Grant.
I actually think I'm starting to feel the same way about that.
The more talented roster. Yeah.
Well, it also depends upon something you've hit on. If you're Spags and you're Kansas City's defense, and you've been really good, who is it you're trying to take away? Now, I don't know. You take somebody away, they got two or three other weapons that are ready to go. By the way, there is a finale to that Richie Ashburn story. It would have been 20 years, 19 years after he gave me that ball. I did stats for a broadcast that he was working for the Phillies when I interned for the Pirates.
Nice.
Told him about him giving me that ball, and then I apologized for biting it.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
We go to the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Time to talk with Alyssa Orange from Pig Trail Nation. Appreciate her time on a Tuesday. Alyssa, as we bring you on here, you might have seen this. Apparently, your Dodgers may have re-signed a future Hall of Fame left-hander. Looks like they got a physical scheduled for Kershaw later in the week. I don't think he can pitch for the first half, but I think Mr. Dodger will still be a Dodger and probably finish his career there.
Yeah, that's good. That's good news. And that's kind of what you hope with a guy like Kershaw, right? That he kind of just plays his career at one place and is content with that, is happy with that. Buster Posey, who, you know, I love as a former Seminole. Unfortunately, he went to the Giants, but he stayed with the Giants, whole career with the Giants. And Dan Marino, whole career with Miami. And we talked about that before. So, you know, was happy to see that. And, Kershaw in any other jersey would just be weird. It's still weird to see, you know, Cody Bellinger and Corey Seager in a different uniform. But I couldn't do it with Kershaw.
Well, it'll be really weird when we see KJ Jefferson in a UCF jersey next football season. But Devo Davis remains a Razorback. I don't know what the future will hold for a fifth year.
Does he change his number?
Or somewhere else? Yeah, that'd be a good question. That's right. You surprised that he came back, welcomed back? What did you think about this?
Yeah, not surprised that he came back. Again, we remember last year and how he just needed time away. That wasn't a departure from the team completely. It was time away. And so he came back. So I always thought there's that possibility because it happened last year. I think my thing, and again, this is speculation. I could be playing devil's advocate a little bit. But Musk talked yesterday on his radio show that he had a meeting with Devo and it went really well, and then he practiced. But how did this all go down? You know, and not that that's really any of our business. It's just speculation as we can talk. But, you know, understanding that there's the player side of it, whether it be a mental health thing, a family thing, you know, whatever it may be, to come back, I just hope that it doesn't, I say disrupt whatever is going on in the locker room already, though I think there's a lot of disruptive things in that locker room right now. Does it make it worse? Does it help? Does it make it better? How is this team with Devo? How is this team without Devo? It's good to see Devo back because of everything he's done with this Razorback team. However, what does it do with any kind of chemistry, whatever camaraderie inside that locker room that's there, that isn't there? And I think that's the biggest question.
Yeah, a little more transparency. I want to know. You kind of want to know what's going on there. I'm always pulling for him, you know, as far as healthy spirit, healthy emotional, hope that he's physically fine and can play. If, let's say, he comes back, plays well, let's say Brazil comes back, plays well, there's 9 games left, Alyssa, do you see, am I just kind of wishful thinking that this team could go 5-4 in these last 9 games?
Yeah, a little bit. but it's all about what team shows up. And again, we have seen Arkansas teams that have fought, and then we have seen, honestly, too frequently this SEC season, teams that get beat by 20 or more points. So I just don't know if this team has that. It's not like it's a couple games here or there that they're losing close. It's blowout losses. And I just don't know if they can quickly turn that around that fast, even with Devo and even with Trevin. But we know that Devo is a postseason guy, and he turned things on. But I don't even know if there's a postseason that he's going to be able to play in outside of the SEC tournament to show that Devo that we've seen for the last 3 years. I would love for it to happen. However, I just don't see it happening.
Women's team getting Talia Scott back now, and the way she played the other night against Auburn, where she just went unconscious. And that's the first time in an SEC game where it really all came together with Talia there, with the team healthier than they've been really since non-conference. And they're still not fully healthy because Saylor's leg is still an issue, and Carly Keats hasn't played for a couple of days after getting an elbow to the nose. But just that Talia looked as she did the other night, and it didn't get in the way of winning a game, that gives me a feeling like the ball can kind of start going downhill a little bit. The thing is that the women's team has a schedule that includes Tennessee on the road on Monday, South Carolina at home. Carolina's looks unbeatable, and Ole Miss still, which are good basketball teams. So, you know, but at least they're healthy, and at least Talia looks good, because it feels like they might be at 100% for the first time in a while, maybe in about a week.
Which is exactly what you want when you have to go into this little bit of a gauntlet of a stretch here with the teams that you just listed. And you still have to go on the road and play Florida on Thursday. And that's why I think those two home games with Alabama and Auburn, they could not afford to lose that Auburn game. That Alabama loss hurt when you look at just what you have and winning at home and going on the road, but they had to win that game against Auburn, and they're down 9.5. And we had Mike Neighbors in the studio yesterday talking to him about Talia, and he's mentioned it before, but it's just timing. She just needed to see the ball go in the hoop a couple times, and then obviously she did what she did in the third quarter, where she put up 17 points of Arkansas's 31 points. And so as they get to this stretch of this schedule, that is going to be tough. That is going to test them. Having Talia, hopefully having Saylor as healthy as she can be, and getting Carly Keith back potentially is exactly what they need, because the team that played against Alabama, that struggled in that game and lost that game where Talia only scored 10 points, that team is not going to beat Tennessee on the road. They're not going to beat South Carolina. They're not going to beat an Ole Miss team, in my opinion. So this is exactly what you need your roster to look like, and knock on wood, no one else gets hurt as you get towards the rest of the regular season, because you're in February now. You need to be peaking at exactly the right time so you head into March. I mean, Mike has talked about that too, Phil, about how sometimes they felt like they peaked too early. Then they got to the tournament and things just kind of stalled out. And so can this team be exactly where they want them to be heading in to the SEC tournament and hopefully an NCAA tournament bid?
Well, I mean, we got the big one coming up. There's a lot of different storylines, you know, legacy game for Andy Reid and Mahomes, Shanahan being the Marv Levy as far as making it but not being able to win it, the All-Pros, the All-Worlds, the most talented roster in the 49ers versus the most talented quarterback in the Chiefs. Alyssa, how do you handicap this one? Who's going to be hosting the Lombardi Trophy when it's all said and done?
Well, I'm on the 49ers bandwagon with this one. Obviously, we've got the Dre Greenlaw, Brandon Allen tie. But they're just a fun team to watch, and I've enjoyed the games that I have watched when they're playing. And like you mentioned, I think they're more of a complete football team. The Chiefs have been able to get it done when they need to get it done, though, right? And that's what good teams do. It might not be pretty. It might not be sexy. But they win when they need to win. And that's exactly what they've done this postseason. But I really like the 49ers, and I hope that they're the ones who are victorious come the end of Sunday.
How does the Radler household take in the Super Bowl? Because when you get two people that live their lives within sports, I would think, you know, you want to watch the game. Now, you're going to watch the other things that go along with it, but not maybe one of these giant parties where everybody's just too loud and you can't watch the game. So how do you watch it?
Yeah, you know, I'm not a big watch party person for exactly that reason. I like to watch, you know, so the big games that are, you know, the Dolphins games or Florida State games or something like that. Like, I like to watch it, maybe have a couple people over, like my mom. But understand, I'm watching this game. I'm not here to socialize. I'm not here to be cute. However, it is Courtney Menz's birthday. So she is having a birthday party Super Bowl thing. So because of that, I'm making sacrifices to my usual role.
Yeah, but Courtney's a sports person, too. She can write rules for this party. It's like, all right, everybody shut up when the game is on.
And she might, but she's also a Swiftie, and we all know how that's going to go. So she understands that's an entertainment thing, too, for her. So I bet it'll be a little bit of both with her birthday party and a Super Bowl party. So I'm making some concessions to go to Courtney's birthday.
You got to have two.
Might only stay till halftime, though. I'll just use the kids as an excuse, go home, put the kids away, and then I'll watch it by myself.
The kid excuse, and that always works. But you got to have two screens, right? There'll probably be maybe two or three different rooms with the game on, so it's not everybody's not just all in one room, and then that way you can kind of veer off and then make sure you get to watch the game. Yeah.
Yeah, if no one can find me halfway through the first quarter, I'm probably upstairs.
Irish goodbye. Yeah.
The kid excuse always works.
Matt, always works.
You got to get yourself
my
one
sisters. They could do. I mean, everywhere they I got the kid. It's like, yeah, you can't argue with it.
It's a school night. It's a school night. Bedtime, 8 o'clock. Got to go.
Hey, Alyssa, thanks for hopping on. We'll do it again next week. Okay.
Always. See ya. Thanks, guys.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's Arlington Hotel.
Hickey and Hole Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hole Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
We just have a karaoke segment here as we wait on Bill King. That's all right. Bill's got a meeting that he's in right now, so he's running a little bit late. So we'll get to Bill when the chance arises. And I wonder, is there a college football coach or any coach that you think might retire in this next calendar year? I wonder when Pop retires.
I think Calipari's closer than we think.
You think so?
I think so.
What is it about that you think? Why do you think that Calipari is the next one?
How long has he been at Kentucky? 17 years or 13 years?
I think it's more like 13.
Yeah, he's been there for a little bit. I don't know. This whole changing of the SEC, Big Ten, everything, the way the college landscape, I guess what you were talking about earlier and, talking about the relay. I mean, he was one of the first to do one and dones and all that, but it just – I just don't think Kentucky's that they've been that good over the last. When's the last time they won a national title?
They won that national title with him in 2012.
See,
that was his third year. I guess he signed the lifetime contract right after that.
I just don't think they're that good either. I watched him play when they played the Hogs earlier this year, and yeah, he gets some talent, a little bit of some athletes, but man, they don't. They don't look, and it's been his theme. That's his thing. Kind of the same with Musselman, but it's a little different. It's like they just kind of struggle and figure it out until they get to the tournament and then they try to make a run.
Yeah. I mean, there's still the embarrassment of the loss in the first round a couple of years ago, only a second round. That's the thing. I mean, you're at that program where whatever happens in the regular season, nobody's really all that worried about it because it's all what happens in March that matters. And they haven't really done anything in March in a long time. A long time. I haven't been on the Final Four in 9 years.
Well, his best player when he had Derrick Rose at Memphis, but when he had Anthony Davis on that team with Kentucky, that was his best player. Absolutely.
He's 65 years old. I mean, that's not old. That would make him, if he was a college football coach, that would make him the fourth oldest head coach in college football. Mac Brown is the oldest. He's 72. Kirk Ferentz, 69. Don Brown of UMass, 68. And then you'd have Calipari in there.
I guess that's around the time you'd start wondering about retirement too, right? Sam Pittman's 62 years old. I mean, 62, that's Toby Keith was 62, right? Passed 62. Away this morning at age 62. It feels quite young for that. Hey, C-Unit, Bill says he's ready to go. You can go ahead and give him a call, and we'll get into some college football stuff. Because, hey, it's tomorrow's National Signing Day, for crying out loud. Right? I mean, is this supposed to be a big thing now, or is it just sort of the conversation that goes along with National Signing Day in February is, when are we going to get back to doing a signing day that all seems to make sense?
We get Jackson Daly on tomorrow, too. A local kid.
We get Danny West on tomorrow, too.
Missouri's down here poaching our kids. You know, they got a lot of Arkansas ties. You look at Greenwood is the one I thought of, and you told me today about the Fayetteville guy with Greenlaw. So they're doing big things in the state of Arkansas, coming in, taking your players, and whooping you and making you like it.
Yeah, so we get a chance to maybe ask one of these Arkansas kids who's committed to Missouri, what is it about Missouri? What is going on?
Is it the fact that Arkansas can't beat Missouri in football? You know, they but come in also, here, take your own players, and beat you with your own kind, man.
Well, but it's also legacies. It's not just kids from Arkansas. It's kids whose parents have played at Arkansas.
Two legacy kids, right? Mm-hmm. Daly and Lindsay. Yeah, it's wild.
We got Bill King with us here on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Happy Tuesday, Bill. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing all right. Signing day is tomorrow. I mean, is there anything big that'll happen tomorrow? Because so much of this occurs on in the early signing period.
No. I mean, there'll be kids who sign, but there's no splash moment that I know of. It's very anticlimactic. They've killed that one off, literally.
All right. Well,
any Alex Collins things happening? Anything like that?
Not that I know of. Now that's some drama I'd watch, but I don't know. I don't think so.
Is that one of the more? I mean, of course, it's one of the more wilder ones. Was there? You heard other stories that were like that? A parent running away with a piece of paper or something that's good. Anybody has to say, if you pay attention to college football recruiting, if you say the Alex Collins incident, they all know what you mean. Is there anything else that you've? Well, you know what they meant because they just said this.
DB, who's in the NFL right now from Louisiana, really good player. I just don't watch the NFL. On his signing day, his mom sitting there in disgust, just head going back and forth, foul look on her face. I remember that one. But, yeah, I mean, that's I wouldn't say it's common, but it happens.
I think this advisory group with the Big Ten and the SEC was announced after we had you on last Tuesday. So this just, I don't know what an advisory group means, but I just know that these are the two biggest, most important conferences, the richest conferences in college sports, two conferences that you'd even mentioned to us at a meeting with the NCAA and President Charlie Baker are making a power play, and it sounds like that's the power play. What are they talking about, and is this going to be, you know, are we talking about maybe a super league in the near future?
Well, we already have two super leagues. You got 34 teams in those two leagues in 27 states. It's already here, and you're not going to expand just for the purpose of putting more teams in your league. They better be additive, not diluted. Two words we always use. If you're going to take somebody, they're either additive or diluted. There's no just bringing somebody in. And this is a pure power play. I've been talking about this for years, and they are getting together with this advisory board, but this is a power play, and I'll tell you what's on the table. They're even threatening, now I don't think this will happen, but Sankey here in recent days has threatened the future of the playoff, unless basically we get our way, and their way is either we go to a 5-7 format and not six automatics, and frankly, guys, they're going to ask for all. They're going to ask for all at-large bids. Huh. If you would have done that this last year, only one team would have gotten in the playoff, not in the Big Ten or the SEC, and that would have been Florida State. That's what they want. Now, again, I don't know what the compromise is or if they'll compromise. They don't want SMU to get the $6 million that P5 teams get by virtue of being in the P5 under the playoff agreement. They're saying they're not going to give them that money. And there's the future TV contract, which has not been negotiated, or at least has not been finalized. They're in negotiations right now, which instead of being $600 million, is going to be billions. And they're going to want a much bigger piece of that pie than the percentage they're getting at the current number. There's a lot at stake here, and there's so much at stake here that they're willing to threaten the future of the playoffs.
That's so interesting to think about, because you think of when a lot of these moves have been made of the, you know, the brand name schools from one league to another, and has created all the trickle down. It's coincided with signing new media deals, and so what you're talking about here is that the next movement of college sports, and it might not have anything to do with teams leaving one conference for another. It could be conferences leaving the NCAA, and that coincides, from what I'm hearing from you, with 2 years from now when the new college football playoff contract is negotiated. That would be the next inflection point?
Yes. And again, I don't think they plan on not being involved, but they're threatening it because they have that power. You can't have a legit playoff and not have the SEC and or the Big Ten. And they're going to hook together here on this. Another item I'm sure they're talking about that they will not admit to is, if there is another expansion, how do you want to handle this? Let's try and be in unison. Don't come down here to the South, even though we don't want Florida State. Don't come down here and get them. Unless you say you take them, then we'll take them. What do you want to do with Clemson? What do you want to do in Miami? Those are other discussions they're having. Because those teams want the bleep out of the ACC, period.
Is there going to be more of a, with these kids, more of a long-term contract, or chances instead of everything right now is a one-year deal? Do you see that getting changed as well?
Yes, we're going to have monumental change. The schools are going to be given the power to issue the money. And you're going to have contracts. You're going to have unions. The Dartmouth news yesterday, that's going to get appealed. Remember, Northwestern did the same thing, got appealed, and then got shot down on appeals. They will get their unions. This will happen. Now, timing-wise, in courts, that's tough to predict. But, yes, there will be unions. The schools will divvy out the money. There will be contracts. There will be labor negotiations. There will be strikes. All of the above.
Now we're talking Now we're talking professional sports, not this NIL stuff. Now we're talking
professional
sports.
And guys, Jack Swarbrick about 3 years ago said he could see in the near future sports only on campus. So you could easily have campuses where the athletes are there, but they're there only for that and no other purpose.
Hey,
you
Bill,
can see that too.
Oh, go ahead.
Ahead.
Oh, okay, I just want to ask you a football question about some of these kids. And I get it, as a quarterback. We were talking earlier about the quarterbacks drafted in front of Patrick Mahomes, and it was Mitch Trubisky and where he went. And I was looking at some of the athletes in this year's draft, and I understand that quarterbacks are going to – I saw one where Bo Nix was a first-round pick. I have no idea how he's a first-round pick, but, you know, whatever. But I want to ask you about some guys that I think all three of them are going to succeed. Harrison Jr. from Ohio State, Rome from Washington, and Neighbors from LSU. Just rank those receivers for me real quick. Put those 1, 2, 3.
Probably go Harrison Jr. and then Neighbors probably 2 and the UW kid 3. I think 2 and 3 is highly debatable.
I think all three of those kids are going to excel in the NFL. Now, the quarterbacks, I think it's more of a roll of the dice, especially after you get past Williams and Drake May. But I think all three of those receivers could go in any order. I think they're all three going to have success.
No doubt. I do, too. It's a bigger jump. From high school to college, receiver is a tough jump, but it's very doable. College to pro seems to be very difficult. And the reason being is, as you know, the DBs are just so much better.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy the difference in the DBs.
Is that, well, why did Bryce Young struggle so much? I mean, we look at somebody that doesn't have a lot of size. He didn't have a great team around him, and that's got to be so much about it. You know, just we were kicking around the idea of the Bears have this first pick. What do? Do you trade Fields? Do you draft Caleb Williams? Williams doesn't want to play there. You know, it sounds like potentially he could be maybe a little bit of a load to deal with off the floor.
He still hasn't signed with the agent, Phil. Like, there's still talk. He's acting like if he doesn't like it, he might go back to which I don't think so, but he hasn't signed with an agent yet.
Is Caleb Williams, I mean, I read scouting reports on Caleb Williams, and it's like he's going to be the next coming of Peyton Manning or something like that. What do you think of Caleb Williams at the next level?
I don't. It's hard from after this year, and it's probably a very unfair assessment. And he didn't have a lot of help, and they don't play defense. And I think he lost his spirit during the season. But I worry about him. I worry about him just as far as the leadership and all that's concerned. Now, I do think he has fantastic ability. If you promised me he's as good as C.J. Stroud, I'd take that right now.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Speaking of Ohio State, are the Buckeyes going to be looking for another offensive coordinator? I read where Bill O'Brien, I mean, it would make sense. Maybe the next head coach at Boston College, so that would leave another job open in Columbus.
Seems that way. Be a head coach. Now, you're not going to win there probably, but be a head coach. His son has a disease that apparently the best doctor in the world for that disease is in Boston, and it involves him having seizures all the time. Hmm. And apparently that's a big consideration. Obviously, that'd be more important than any other consideration, right? And I think that is part of this element, too.
Wow, I didn't know that about his son. Yeah, Boston would be a place I'd want to live if I needed any kind of medical treatment, truthfully.
Yep.
We're 10 days from college baseball season. Who are you? Now, I know you pay attention to Corbs with Vanderbilt. Tony Vols over at Tennessee. Who are you looking at this year in the Southeastern Conference? Because usually it's like take your pick of any seven or eight teams. I'll tell you, watch out for Arkansas. This is going to be a really good team this year.
Oh, yeah. I love Arkansas. I love watching them. LSU, I mean, this is your obligatory list. Florida, Vanderbilt, Tennessee. Georgia's got the new coach there. Now, they don't care a lot about it, the university, but that'll be fun to watch. And South Carolina had some moments a year ago, right? I think they'll see Kentucky's always well coached. Those are a few I'll be taking a look at, but I'm mad because on Friday night, meaning a week from this Friday, I'm going to have to order Flow Sports to watch Tennessee and Texas Tech play. I'm not happy about that.
Arkansas baseball fans feel you. They really do, because they got to do the same thing for the second weekend of the season when they're at the Rangers ballpark. Or, you know, they know they could just listen to the radio broadcast because it's 10 out of 10.
That's what I would do, but I do want to watch it. I'm going to spend $30. I think I figured I'm spending $30 on three games. Friday night or through the weekend. What a waste.
That's how we know you're hardcore, Bill. If you're doing the Flow Sports thing, that's called hardcore. Hey, that's thanks for stopping bad. Over. Thank you so much.
See you guys. Yep.
Yeah, always a joy. Thanks, Bill.
Bill King, Nashville Sports Radio, noted college baseball junkie. Otherwise, he wouldn't be throwing $30 at Flow Sports. Our listeners know all about that.
It keeps you away from watching the spring football games, I guess, for paying for that. You get to watch baseball, a little more real live action.
Yeah, he won't be watching the spring games. I know that for sure. I was going to ask him if he's going to watch the Super Bowl, and it's like I think he'd be more worried about cooking for the Super Bowl, because, you know, Bill, I mean, he's not into pro football at all. But I think even if you're not into pro football, you still watch the Super Bowl, right?
He could be a Taylor Swift fan. He could be a Swiftie. Probably not.
I think you'd be more of a Toby Keith fan today. We'll get into the home stretch of halftime and talk to you after the quick break.
It started as a dream, and here you are. It's moving day. But wait, isn't moving supposed to be stressful? Oh, that's right. You bought your home using Weikert Realtors. Your Weikert agent guided you from start to finish to help make sure we found you your perfect place. Dream, move, home, Weikert. Call your local Weikert Realtors office today.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.